Go ahead and start recording.
So by having the vacancy, we need two.
This is the 20, the regular LSVP.
13.
May 13, 2015. When the Montrose Center, 401 Bernard, room 114. Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Adriana Castaneda.
Here.
Robert Mark.
Here.
Phil Collins. Hank Lamb.
Here.
Nancy Sarbarnartoni. Maria Elena Castellanos. Mike Lewis.
Here.
Joseph Kay.
Excuse.
He asked for an excuse absence.
George Ryder. Tony Cox.
He sent an email saying he had to go home because of the weather.
Okay. We can accept that.
Teresa Allen.
Present.
Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Jim Krafka.
Here.
Susie Moreno.
Here.
Darrell Robbins. Alana Lamprim.
He's here.
Susan Rodman.
Here.
Richard Zell.
He asked for an excuse absence.
Venetia Patel. Joseph Davis, Anne Buehr. Anna Lopez.
She asked for an excuse absence too.
Didn't Venetia say something about not being here at the meeting that didn't happen?
I have listed requests for excused absences of Tony Cox, Anna Lopez, Richard Zell, Joseph Kay, and Jim Krafka.
No, Jim Krafka.
Jim's here.
That's the last meeting.
Yeah, we've got a few of them that we'll deal with. I do believe the vice chair did ask for a second meeting.
That's right.
I remember that too.
Careful.
Yeah, pretty complimentary report.
And you didn't call Dwayne Bradley, but he isn't here. No consequence. No consequence.
I think though you should call the treasurer and note that he also had indicated he wouldn't be here because it didn't appear we would get to the treasurer.
That's correct.
Since he is an elected officer and would be subject to the three miss meeting rule, I think we ought to go on the record on giving him an excuse.
Well.
He's not the.
I believe the three rules applies to LSV members.
Exactly.
And he isn't an LSV member. He serves at our pleasure.
Well, as long as we all remember that, remains the rule the same when he doesn't appear at three meetings.
Well, then he still serves at the pleasure of the committee, is what I'm suggesting. Should he not make, any member not make three meetings, then you're subject to removal if you don't make three meetings.
There is a difference between excused and unexcused. That's why I'm suggesting he be granted an excuse.
But he's not.
In this case, he wouldn't be roll called anyway because he's not on the LSV roll.
He's an officer.
In effect, he is an officer, but he is not an elected officer and he's not held to the same standard as the LSV elected officer.
Then he should not be removed for absenteeism.
Well, we'll get to that.
Unless we vote on it.
Should that, that's what I say, he serves at the pleasure of the LSV, as most chairs do. Yes, sir.
I move that since the storm has been established.
Phil Collins.
We grant all the people the excused absences and Phil be noted as president.
Let the record reflect Phil Collins has arrived and noted. Also, Mr. Crocker, I want a clarification on your motion that you, that we excuse all requested excused absences. Well, I heard the objection, so I don't.
I'll second that. We excuse all requested.
It seems to be acclamation, so I didn't hear any objection. So I think we can go right into, unfortunately, the agenda is printed, and I hope everybody except Mr. Collins have one. And as y'all can now deal with this, this room is $10 an hour. We're going to be within our four-hour window of what we paid for, $40. Should we have more members here, do you believe we should request a larger room?
Yes.
The next room up is $20 an hour.
We'll never.
No, I'm sorry, $15.
No, this is fine.
We'll never.
Nobody will ever meet.
here at the same time.
Well, I just need to get that out.
First time we have a big audience.
All right.
And a semi-full house will be in tight spaces.
Well, if we anticipate that, we have the luxury of asking for a bigger room if we anticicate.
You may want to do that at the December meeting or January delegates meeting, but otherwise.
As we get into the summer, we should have less. All right, just had to get that out there, so you don't think I'm roughshodding. Now, agenda as printed, it was published. I know those of you who normally send me my corrections, you were silent this time, so I must be getting a little better. Okay.
I take one.
Must be getting a little better. Thank you. Now, minutes, and I have 4 months of minutes floating.
Well.
So that they have already been approved.
Yeah.
But this able and accurate secretary wanted to make sure he showed you that the changes were made so that we can actually put them in official record. So all I want to be sure is that those of you who are concerned about them get a look at them. Where are they? Where are the minutes?
You know.
I do?
Yeah.
They were sent back up here?
George Ryder in the house.
He's got one right now.
You gave him the right. I know you want to say it. Will you pass them down?
All right. It's just one set.
It's one set.
It's one set. You pass it on. If you have an addition or change, whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, those things I just gave you, mm-hmm. they need to stay together.
They need to stay together. It's one set.
That way, if you want to watch, look at them, ask Adriana to send them that back down. Because all I want is I want you to look at them because they're already approved. Now,
well, this is, I don't know.
Huh?
Cultural
center is the password, ladies and gentlemen. Cultural center.
No spaces.
It's the Wi-Fi password.
All lowercase.
All lowercase, if you will. Okay, now, Miss Gossman.
We have 3 sets.
Well, it should have been.
One of them is the record that we have to approve tonight, isn't it?
No. These are minutes that have already been approved. So. Mr. Secretary, what minutes did you print?
That's January delegates.
Oops. January delegates, April.
That's in order. January LSP.
January LSP.
February 11th, and somebody put my March.
Somebody has March. Give it up. Give it up.
March.
Give it up. Give it up. Now, did we have minutes? That was March. The last meeting we had was March.
Those have been sent out email about different
March minutes were emailed to everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going, I understand. When the secretary sends you something, he'll put a header on it saying secretary, because I understand a lot of it you don't want to open. But it's important that you open the stuff that's sent from the secretary because printing costs, he's not going to print 22. We're in technology now, so once you get it, you read it, you make your notes of what you want to change, and we have the March, which he sent out, and I'm more than certain most of you are going to want to see this because we're going to approve it tonight. So I'm going to pass it down. I looked at it on the internet. I didn't see any need for any changes, but please
when
just take a couple of minutes.
Mr. Chair, when was it sent out?
Before the last meeting ago.
Okay.
Which was about a month ago. But I'm saying, I'm not rushing anybody. Any changes you want to make, you can make, but we're going forward with the next agenda item, and we'll come back to the March minute.
Mr. Chair, I have a motion with regard to the April report.
Go right ahead.
I move that we approve the April report and that we approve the request for the excused absences contained therein.
Are there any objections?
Including myself.
Including Jim Krafka, who had requested an excuse because he works on Saturdays.
And what do you have a a copy of that?
We use record.
Good, okay, you got the record. Any objection?
I have a question.
Yes.
You're on there.
Was I included in that? Thank you.
Okay, with any objection? Without objections, motion carries. Now, KPFT recognition. I have allotted 5 minutes. Let's use 3. Go ahead.
Well, I came in to do my show, and neither of the two people, the backup board op, were there, and I want to acknowledge Shannon for being willing to do it. She had a splitting headache. She did it anyway.
It's just George Ryan.
And I greatly appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you, for the sake of the recording, say your name before you speak so the person who's listening will know who is speaking. Any other KPFT recognitions? Hank
yes.
Lamb.
Hank Lamb. I want to thank everybody that came and answered phones during the fund drive and that continues to answer phones through Thursday. And all the people that came in to do pitching.
Next, Mr. Robinson.
I would like to recognize Sandy Wyman, who had a fundraiser for KPFT that perhaps was one of the greatest musical shows I ever saw. It was sadly underattended, but the quality of the performances and the talent that was there was just unbelievably good.
Great event, yeah.
Is this the same gentleman that came to our impromptu meeting Saturday and announced his, said it was underattended, but it was well put on?
Of us, it was me and Hank.
Really, really, and Linda, yeah, really well put on, but.
I mean, you say under, that just means the public didn't show up.
Well, us.
Even KPFT didn't show up.
KPFT didn't show up, the public didn't show up.
You
know.
Wow.
It really was a great show.
Good thing
though.
That he had a lot of underwriters, because otherwise that would be bad.
Oh, yeah, correct. And even the underwriters left after a while from lack of interest, so we may not get them back.
That's
necessarily.
You gotta bring them out.
You didn't stay to the last act. You missed them.
Any others?
I want to thank those people that. I'm sorry?
Your name.
This is Teresa Allen, and I want to thank those people that helped make the Ray Hill Roast a success. And those people include our staff, Robin Lewis, Lydia Wakasey, who helped me so much with the silent auction. Jack Walensky, who secured a commitment from the mayor to attend and made a lot of phone calls and personally brought in a lot of, political leaders in this city. Dwayne Lark, who, although Reverend Larson did not attend, offered a superb opportunity for lunch and I think that's just a very exciting silent auction item. Shannon Jewelers, the Public Defender, the Sobering Center. Yesterday I attended a lunch with Leonard Kincaid of the Sobering Center. It was and lunch at Irma's, a guided tour of the facility. It was a wonderful opportunity. Houston Historical Tours that went dirt cheap. A $300 personal tour that you could have bought for 5 people went for $100. I mean, it was a steal. It was just a steal. Gold's Gym offered us things. I want to thank Adriana Casaneve and Hank Lamb, Jim Boyd, who offered an item for the silent auction, Adriana and Hank for leadership from the board, buying tables, tickets to the event, it was a great event. We raised over $17,000. Maybe if we had taken corporate donors, we might have, made it $300,000 like some that I see in the paper. But it was a wonderful event. So thank you all.
Any others?
Well, first of all, really recognize Teresa Allen too, and the whole group that really helped with the Ray Hill Roast. I mean, you really work a lot, everybody. I mean, that shows that when we are united, when we work together, we have the responses there. All the people that were present, but I want to recognize two more things. One, First of all, we know that the CFO, the Pacifica Chief Financial Officer, is leaving tomorrow, to be exactly, the foundation. I want recognizing him, commend him, because it's the first time since I, around Pacifica and KPFT, that we have so much financial information. People complain, I agree, we discuss for little things, and the guy is sitting there in the national office waiting for the station to send the correct information.
Which they don't.
It's less than a year since he started working full-time in the national office, and we never have such an information. We have even obviously not audited yet, but we have even the state of the foundation for 2014.
Is this a recognition?
Yes, and I have one more. It's for KPFA, our sister station in California, in Berkeley, to be more precise. We know now that even when we were told permanently that the California station, especially KPFA, was bringing the foundation down, that is, wasn't true.
It was a leech.
I can see that since 2003 and 2013, KPFA by itself paid for the shortcomings of KPFT and Pacifica Radio Archives combined.
If the roots are right.
Now, should we get to the
No,
we know that.
Madam, if yes. We get to the PNB report, you'll be able to extend on that, but I think you've got recognitions in.
No, but I have one more point at this. They are now loaning us $100,000 for the transmitter.
That should have been the first point you made.
And we right. should really thank them for that.
Amen. Okay? Amen. And let me take the last option here. Since, George started this up.
I have one more.
Go ahead.
I want to thank Hank for coming in and pitching my show and some of the shows afterwards on Friday night. Appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
Well, I really thank you, Teresa, for mentioning it because the time had gotten away from me. I thought we'd had a meeting since then, but we actually haven't. So people didn't know what went on with that event, and I think everybody's gotten their accolades, but I do want to take credit for, while I had some issues at the committee for bringing the mayor in for free, I did ask her $4,000, and she not only took me up on it, said that if someone went to her car, she'd give the check. So in addition to Sylvester Turner giving $1,000, me asking, and Kim Ogg giving $500, and Mr. Gallegos, as I indicated to you, is responsible for over $1,100 by buying the table. And then at the silent auction, getting that for little or nothing. But when I asked him during the plea for $500, he gave that. So subsequently, we did have over $10,000 raised that night, our commitments. And I believe that we realized we can do it if we come together. But unfortunately, we don't have another Ray Hill that can galvanize people and cause the interest of folk to put $1,000 out of their pocket or $500 out of their pocket. But I think we've rode that horse enough. So let's get back to the agenda, which is item 3, new member nominated to the KPF Community Advisory Board. And I don't believe the person is here. Does anyone want to speak to that?
Can we move it to the?
I want to hear. Do you have a motion?
I have a motion.
The lady rising.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a motion that since it was put to us by the head of the CAB that they want this person, that we accept this person for their group, their hardworking group.
Mr. Stuart Snow.
Your motion, please.
Second.
What is the motion?
To accept him as new member of the CAB.
I'm sorry.
We do have...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I mean, I obviously don't have any problem. I don't know the person. But it's our practice, and was always, that at least we hear from the person that wants to be part of CAF. I mean, I modified that a little bit and said that maybe we can put it farther down
to give them
and Marianne the option to come here, the CAF chair.
So, let's deal with this. We have a motion on the floor. It appears that there's a challenge to the motion. So what we're going to do is got a second on their motion. So the motion is accepted. We're going to create a stack for those who want to speak to the motion, those who want to speak against the motion. Mr. Robert Mark?
I would just remind the members of this body that Stuart Snow had expressed an interest in filling in a vacancy on this board and came to that meeting and told us all about himself. Would we have him come back and say it again? I don't think that he's going to change his information based upon going on the CAD versus coming on the spot.
Mary, is her name Marianne, right?
Marianne Martinez.
Marianne's been the hardest working CAD leader we've had for many years now. She performs her function. She sent out the email saying that he wants to be on. I don't know why we need to be bringing her back at the next meeting, putting it off. Just do it.
Well, we do have a motion. You spoke to the motion.
May I?
Are there any to speak against the motion? Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I am not, like I said before, I'm not against. The guy is true what Robert said. He came in front of us because he wanted to run for a seat on the board. My question is, are we totally sure that he wants to run now just for CAF?
I think that's an interesting question, Mr. Kafka, because, for instance, we have an opening on the board.
That's what I'm saying.
And the gentleman may have not known that,
when
he accepted this offer from the CAF. Should it be your desire, and he wants to be on the board, why wouldn't we defer it?
He could still
run. Question.
He's called the question, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare to vote.
There's no second yet. No.
I second.
I thought it was second. I wouldn't have allowed it to be a motion if it hadn't heard a second.
I
second to call the question. You
well,
don't have
wait
to.
A minute. The question, that ain't the question. The question is, the chair misperceived that was a second.
To call the question, there was a second.
I thought he was telling me there was no second.
No, there's no second.
Okay. There's a second to vote.
All right, I just due diligence. All right. Those in favor of the motion, repeat
calling
the motion.
The question.
Yeah. Calling the question.
First of all, the question.
Repeat
the two-thirds vote to cut
if there's any.
Okay.
Is any
those in favor of calling the question, raise hands.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection?
One, two, first question.
Three, four, five, six, seven. I don't see a unanimous. Will you allow me to do it the way I'm doing it?
No, I mean, before counting.
Well, that is a prerogative of the chair to do that. So I want to see the votes. Those in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Those opposed? It passes unanimously. At least you didn't vote, right? Okay. Now we go to the issue itself. The motion. Which we repeat the motion.
One thing I have is accept Stuart Snow as member of CAP.
That's it. Plain and simple. In favor or opposed? Those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those opposed?
There's no opposed.
One opposed.
One.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're doing roll call on that.
He's not precluded from running from the board.
No, the record will reflect it passed. Now, the next item is governance committee motions that's been on the vine for 7 months. And so we're going to get to hear the motion that these hardworking, as let's use your term, governance committee members try to address an issue that we all see a problem with, and that is unlimited, unmitigated. Just don't show up for 14, 15 months, and there are no consequences. So would the governance committee bring forth its motion, please?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
that was part of the September, August and September 2014 reports. Yeah, the motion, and I give it to the members a million times. And we can give it again.
Oh, we're killing a lot of trees.
Can we hear it?
Trees.
It kind of expedite?
Yeah, because really, it's not new.
It's not
new. If everybody's been on this board, I think only one, maybe one person may not be familiar with it. You're fairly familiar with it. You've been to a couple of committee meetings. So there really should be only one person who's not familiar with these motions. They've tried to get it on the agenda and has been on the agenda, but it was sent back a couple of times for refinement. And so now this chair made it a priority. I thank you, each of you, for allowing it to be a priority tonight.
Just.
While she's passing that out, since you're so thoroughly familiar, could you go ahead and give them the background and read it out to them?
I want to
Members who have simply not shown up for extended periods of time, people who have de facto abandoned the board, and yet by continuing to request excused absences, they create an open seat that makes it more difficult for the board to achieve quorum at times and to produce work. And of course, obviously, anyone who's not here is not representing the people who voted for them. The request to change is in addition to our special rules, and since the bylaws dictate the rules for determine whether absences account for dismissal from the board or not, we can't change that. The only thing we can change is our own definition of what an excused absence is, because in the original bylaws, it does specify that it's up to the board, local LSB, whatever station they decide how to excuse absences, it's up to them. So that's our latitude. So we want to add to our special rules the following special rule, which will be: no LSB member or a committee member shall be granted an excused absence if they have three or more absences in the previous 12 months. In other words, in a given running period of a year, if you've missed more than three times already, you're no longer eligible for excused absences. That doesn't necessarily mean you would be immediately removed from the board like that, because I think one thing that needs to be clarified is the bylaws specify that in order to be removed, you have to have three consecutive unexcused absences. So even if we put this rule in here, you would still have to, after you've used up all your excused absences, still have to miss three more.
In effect, six out of 12 meetings.
Consecutively. You could still only maybe attend three meetings a year and still be perfectly fine. So the idea we're still only pushing it to a 25% attendance rate is pretty pathetic. Unfortunately, we feel like it's about as strong as we can do it.
And adhere to the law.
And the bylaws are updated for something strong.
Mr.
Point of information.
Yes.
Is there any retroactivity to this motion?
It's either, not stated. No.
Either no.
It's not stated.
Going
it's not
forward.
No.
Right.
But I think that it should not apply retroactively.
It won't.
Sorry,
I mean, because it's not there. It's not written.
No.
It's not in there. This
no.
is moving forward.
My question is, if we approve this tonight, will somebody be going backwards from tonight? Saying, okay, George Ryder doesn't get any more excused absences because he spends the summer in New York. Liana Lopez doesn't get any more excused absences because she's working 9 out of 12 meetings. Or are we going to start tonight and start counting those absences tonight, which I think is appropriate?
Well, I think it's appropriate that anytime you make a rule, unless it's stipulated in that rule that it would be retroactive, it begins the night that the rule is approved.
Why not just say that?
I don't have a problem.
We can amend it.
I don't have a problem.
Go ahead. I don't think you need to mention it. I think if it doesn't mention that this is going to apply retroactively,
mm-hmm.
that there's an assumption that it's moving forward. I mean, I've never seen any
bylaws
amendments that said moving forward.
Right.
I think it's assumed.
It's the day of approval.
Moving
exactly.
forward.
We're not going to go back.
Just, I think it's not an unreasonable request on your part just to specify something.
Not retroactive. That's all you have to put on the last
there's certainly
line.
Nothing wrong with it if you want to add an
is that sufficient, Hank? Go ahead.
Well, the problem with the wording is that it does say the previous 12 months.
Yes.
Only to give you, in any law, You need some rule by which you're going to codify. What are you talking about? Specificity. So it says in a 12-month rolling period. A 12-month rolling period means if it's April, you go back to last April.
What it says is if you have three or more absences in the previous 12 months. Mm-hmm. We have a previous 12 months.
Right, we do. And the reason it was written that way was because every time we have a new meeting, that's a new month, which means 12 months ago, if you were absent, that's another absent that doesn't account.
Right.
Towards this rule, and make sure that we're always clearing behind us. We didn't want to set one specific date and say, well, let's just come back around to January, and now all of a sudden, no absences matter anymore. Once you take your seat, it starts counting.
So my point is still the same.
Yeah.
We have a year of previous ones from tonight's meeting. Next month, that would be a year.
So in effect, what Mr. Mark is suggesting, if you put not retroactive, the previous 12 months would not apply.
My statement is, these count because it says the previous 12 months.
That's why Mr. Mark asked for the amendment.
If you put not retroactive, then the 12 months would have to begin tonight.
If we change it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Kropka, and I'll come to you.
I'm not even against it being the previous 12 months. But it does say
we're addressing your concern by that.
Unfortunately, I have 2 points. The first point is starting at the next meeting, we should go back to 12 months. The second point is we should have some kind of flexibility. George is gone for 3 months, and then George has a family crisis in this period. Going back, he has 3 absences. I would think that we could be able to excuse that absence by a vote of the board also.
Okay.
Well, we can give them excused absences according to this. Another 3.
What is,
it says
I'm
you
sorry.
Cannot just hold on. Just hold on.
Yeah, but it's back and
absence.
Forth. No, that doesn't
huh?
work. Back and forth doesn't work.
Well, it does work because we're going to vote on this, okay. And everybody's going to vote the way they want to vote, but we ought to have a discussion just like
true.
We had so in committee.
That's so what I'm trying to do.
What I'm suggesting to the gentleman is that if his concerns is that individuals will not be treated like individuals. That's why you can't codify a rule and take individuals or people into consideration. You've got to make the rule just the rule. And the fact is that reason this comes up, Madam Chair, Madam PNB member, the reason this has been worked on, you're still not going to ameliorate it with your concern, and that is quorum. So if I'm sick, and I'm in the hospital for 5 or 6 months. The reality of it is, I'm holding up the process of this board with my personal situation. That is not how you run operations. That is not a successful plan of operations. So we can't look at the individual. We got to look at what is in the best interest. How's the rule going to allow us to move forward? And as we pointed out in June, when we really get less people here, we're going to have 11 or 10. I think it's very reasonable to say, if you haven't shown up, that we cut that out, and then we'll have less to deal with in terms of quorum and not coming here for nothing and going home.
Yes, I think that is very clear. This will go to the standing and special rules. And like every standing and special rule, our LSP, with 2/3 of the vote, can suspend any standing or special rules to start that way.
Let me finish
because everybody is jumping. I think that this will be solved that if we start counting today, we approve it today, we start counting from today. Obviously, like we said before, we don't need to put, like Teresa pointed really well. I don't see
mean.
Any
It should
any
say
rules.
What you mean. Yeah.
But Secretary, you got
the,
a point.
The subject, in fact, of George Ryder specifically came up because it's known that he traveled. And we specifically discussed the fact that we would predict that when before you travel, you would simply contact us and say, okay, I request that the board grant me the next 3 months of meetings. And we would
then
vote immediately before you're even out of town. We already vote to excuse your next 4 absences.
But that's all it
gets. By suspending the rule. And we can do that.
Well,
that's
no,
within
no,
our
no,
within
no
our
this specifically says that you cannot get more.
No, we're not giving. That has, in other words, we're suspending the rule. This does not apply.
Yes.
Would you suspend the rule? We're asking, he's going to ask us to suspend the rule.
Why would you make a rule?
It's a higher barrier to suspend the rule than it is to just pass something. Okay. So in other words, if three quarters, isn't it two thirds?
Two-thirds.
If two thirds agree to do something, that means it's a little strange.
I'm not really for passing a rule that you're automatically going to have to suspend. It doesn't make any sense.
I call the question.
Well, we never did read the second part of this. The first part, as I think Mr. Mark pointed out, I believe you would like to see an amendment to this to specify that it is
retroactive.
Well, let's finish actually reading the full text of the suggested standing rule, a special rule for retention. The second, now that was the first part relating to making sure that people don't accumulate too many absences. The second sentence is, to qualify for an excused absence, the request must be emailed to lsb@kpft.org at least 3 hours in advance of that scheduled meeting time. We had originally opposed, that's the text. We had originally suggested 24 hours. The idea is we want to give the chair and other members of here to make sure somebody's not going to make it, do we have to round more people up, make quorum? Or if we know we're not going to make quorum, we can let people know they don't need to show up. So we need to have some level of warning. However, we trimmed it down to 3 hours. I figure there's some things can happen, but within 3 hours, how many times are you going to be 1 hour short of getting into the meeting? 3 times in a row after you've already lost your excuse? It's statistically improbable. So this gives a nice window. It gives everybody in the board reasonable amount of time that we know that, okay, contact us 4 hours before the meeting. You know that, okay, I have a doctor's appointment today. Something's happened. Gives us a chance to be able to react and get other people to show up. It also specifies that the method of doing this is to email it to lsb@kpft.org. In the past, a lot of people have made arguments, well, I sent it to Adriana. Well, sending it to Adriana is not notifying the board. But we've accepted that. Up until now, we've had no rules. This gives us a nice, standard, specific way. And whenever it's received by that email server, that qualifies as the official way to request that excused absence. And again, what are the odds of the email server not working for the 3 consecutive times that you're not making it?
Okay, Mr. Croft, I've heard from you. Hank, I've heard from you. Can I hear from some members who haven't heard from? Go ahead.
Okay. Briefly, without changing the meaning of this at all, the self-appointed proofreader says we should put the letter S in front of the period of the first sentence, months, plural. You can drop the letter A in front of committee or committee member instead of or a committee member, and you put a comma after absence, which is in the second sentence. Does it just
without affecting the substance?
And it doesn't change the meaning of the sentences at all.
Okay.
I have a point of information.
Go ahead.
Is it intended that 3 or more absences be unexcused absences or any kind of absence?
Any kind of absences.
So even if I had 3 absences excused for the summer, then I would never have any more excused absences.
Correct.
Yes.
Have to be unexcused.
So you'd have up to 3 unexcused.
But then you need another 3.
You have to receive 3 unexcused absences in a row.
As a reset.
In a previous 12 months.
So I just have to show up 3 times in a row.
Not like in a fiscal year or anything.
Yeah, you would actually have to have pretty much 3 more consecutive absences in addition to
6 months out.
Or actually cause you to have a problem. And again, you can still, even if you have excess absences, and I think the point is well taken that I have something new, especially if it's this is related to my show, my producing material, today with Pacifica, suspend the rule. You can always ask to suspend the rule.
And this, I think that is clear directly to people that we don't see in this board in the last year.
But it rubs
everybody
in.
Actually, we've been all over the floor here, but ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to talk about this all night. So, actually, I haven't heard from Mr. Mark on this matter. Yeah, we can get a call for vote. Go ahead, sir.
I would move that we amend the first paragraph, second sentence to read, they have 3, parent 3, or more absences in the immediately preceding 12 months, comma, not to be counted for any month retroactive to the passage of this rule. Period.
Mm-hmm. So it cleans up nothing.
Say that again.
If you do that, it cleans up nothing.
That just cleans up the prep.
Say that again.
We have people right now that we're trying to move off of the board for the fact that they haven't been here for months and months.
Well, not really, this because when you look at, wait a minute, Hank, that's a good point. Look at the rule. There's really only one person that would be eligible for this rule. So it's really not going to apply to but 10% of the population of this universe. And the beauty of this discussion for me is, as chair, y'all are the ones who come. So nobody's best to make this rule or to determine whether it should be a rule or not are you, because you're here all the time. So go ahead.
Okay, I'll just speak to clear this whole thing up. The only time anybody would get in trouble by this rule is if you have your next absence after your three.
Mm-hmm. Three after that.
No, three. Saying, no, it's got to be after. Three. You have to have three unexcused to get kicked off.
But you can always do the, like a young man that used to be on the board. You come
one time.
Reset
is what I call it. Right. Reset. And I don't think George would have a problem with this rule.
So I'm for the rule.
Except for his visits to New York. And George never missed three meetings in a row.
There you go. And I'm saying I'm glad you guys are here to make this rule, because you're the ones who are here. So I really don't see how you would really have pushback to this rule. You ought to want to make it stiffer, a penalty for people who don't want to show up. Yes, sir.
I want it to mean what it says.
Several people have raised...
My language exactly cleaned up that problem.
Excuse me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Several people have raised the words consecutive and three consecutive, and that's not in this rule.
Order. Let's have order.
No, it's in our normal rules.
Let's allow Alon to make his point. Go right ahead.
Again, I say there's no mention of three consecutive in this rule. So why do people keep raising that word consecutive?
May I respond?
Yes, Secretary.
The bylaws state that the rules relating to absences requiring dismissal from the board is three consecutive unexcused absences. We cannot change the bylaws. That has nothing to do with this rule. We're not changing the bylaws. We're just simply creating a bylaw that helps us define how we excuse an absence, our procedure, standard procedure. It has nothing to do with the bylaw, which is a totally separate rule.
I would ask George's opinion, since he's the main one affected by it for the time being.
And
if we change the language to say that our 12 months begins tonight, we're not cleaning up any of the existing problems.
Okay, George, what is your opinion in 30 seconds?
My opinion is that, in fact, I think I'll make an amendment that we change absences to unexcused absences. And then the board, if there's somebody who's just not showing up, can stop getting excused absences. And stop
excusing them.
Repeat that again.
I'm going to make a motion, an amendment, that we change the language to say three or more unexcused absences in the previous 12 months. So if I had a second, I'll speak to it.
Well, hey,
I have a statement about this, is that we already have the right to refuse them excused absences, even if they request them.
Yeah,
we should have been doing that with the folks we think were problems, and we don't need a bylaw change for that. We should just start practicing what we have.
But we don't do it.
Well, that's why I'm taking the
amendment. We're not required to accept it.
You can't apply one thing and not apply to another person.
Mr. Chair,
go ahead, your point.
We have this board May 14, 2014, this board asked the governance committee to resolve the issue of excused absences. It's a year, exactly a year, and was a total consent. We present this at least five times to this LSB, and we always excuse. I mean, what is the problem with accepting this?
Mr. Crafton.
Okay, I'd like to make an amendment to George's.
We cannot have four amendments.
Excused or unexcused, both.
It's already in there. That already means both.
Point of information.
No, it says excuse.
Hold on. Let me clarify.
Oh.
I have an a motion with an amendment with an amendment. Now, what I'd like to do, this is what the chair would like to do to get some order in here. We're 1 minute away from public comment. When we come back, I want a caucus with the principles of these motions, and I want one motion. And if we can't come up with one motion in these few minutes with the principles, then we need to move on, because this has been worked on for 6 or 8 months, and you talk about how hard people work, and then I hear this with the budget sometimes, how hard they worked on it. You ought to just vote for it. But hey, we're at the public comment now, and we want to know who wants to speak.
Point of order. It's not time for public comment. You still, and I have my hand raised, and you had, and I have.
I consider 8 o'clock as public comment. You're right. I did not acknowledge you because I had order of business to take care of. And now we are at the public comment. Are there any ones who want to speak?
No problem.
If there are no one who wants to speak, then we'll go right back into session. Now, madam, your point of order.
I would like to say that what George Ryder said was really not a motion. He made an argument. He kind of paraphrased what he wanted to say in the amendment. So I don't consider that an amendment. I like what we've got with Alon's clerical corrections. So.
So that's the original motion.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to get a stack because we're not going to spend all night on this issue.
Point of order.
What is the point of order, Mr. Ryder?
I did make a motion. It was seconded. The motion was to change.
Mr. Ryder, your motion, I did not hear a second to your motion.
Thanks. Jim Kraft can second.
Well, at this point, what we're going
is. Is that correct, Jim?
I
want clarification.
Did you second the motion?
I asked if you had a second.
So that, in effect, was not a second. I want to hear from the secretary. Do you have a point to this matter?
I'm still trying. I mean, people are bringing up points, and I'm trying to respond to you, because after all, the committee covered this issue in detail.
Miller, people are talking about something that doesn't exist. And they're not
realize what we've already covered. We did consider that possibility of what you already suggested. The problem with it was is it still allows a 100% non-attendance rate. It basically makes the rule moot. Why are we even bothering to have a rule at all if we're going to do it?
So, do I have a second for that motion?
Okay. I read the motion because
the motion would be to simply change 3 or more absences to 3 or more unexcused absences in the previous 12 months. So if I have a second, I'll speak through.
I'll second.
So what if you have 9 excused absences?
Hold on.
Like some of our people do.
Go ahead, Mr. George Ryder.
The point being that if there's someone who you think is not being responsible to the board, you can refuse to give them an excused absence. And, you know, if they would be, if you do that 3 times in a row, they're off the board. So, for me, I would also therefore not be in the position of falling under this rule when I go away for the summer. So it seems to me that the board, by just simply paying attention to the excused absences and voting no where it seems appropriate, can handle the problem. And if you leave it in the way it is, you still have the option, after you've given them 3 unexcused absences, to apply the rules for getting rid of them. So that's my amendment, and that's why I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
And when we discussed it in committee, the problem with that is that people get singled out. For
there's
instance,
a stat.
We have 12 absences.
No, he's actually
more from Darrell Robbins, and nobody's ever mentioning not excusing these absences. And the point is that we don't want to get sued for singling people out. And people seem to be crazy about suing Pacifica, so that was one of the reasons why he felt it best to make the rule more generic so that we don't have to single people out for not giving them excused absences. That was the rationale.
Okay. Hank?
Well, George just clarified my point that we don't need any amendment. We can already, as the rules stand now, deny people excused absences when we see the privilege has been abused. We have that power now. We just need to start exercising it if we want to clean up the situation.
Correct.
If we make it retroactive before today, it would clean it up. If we start it today, it won't clean it up for another year. So why don't we just start exercising common sense and stop giving people excused absences when we know that they, you know, for the last year, some of them miss well more than half.
Okay, Mr. Krafka, and then Susie.
Okay, what George just stated would be incorrect if we pass this motion, because we cannot exclude somebody, because it says right here, to qualify for an excused absence, the request must be emailed to blah, blah, blah. It doesn't talk about any kind of denials.
We have that power.
You know, it says specifically right here, all you have to do is email it.
The denials.
You can. You're not required.
So you're
going to
exclude somebody for following.
Hank, you had your shot at it.
I'm the presenter of that.
Heard out like that. Let's get some more in here. Mr. Crosser has the floor.
What's it called?
Susie.
A bylaw?
Susie,
no, it's
a rule.
We're going to tell people we're not going to follow our rule in that situation. I suggest that we come up with four excused absence rule consecutive. Or three unexcused. It doesn't matter what your four excuses are in a row. If you're absent four in a row, you're gone. That would eliminate the people who never come to the meetings, who haven't been here in 12 months, and that person didn't request an excused absence tonight, and the other one's off the board.
Let me take a second to respond to what Hank said a second ago, because it is relevant.
Yeah, okay.
We could be using better judgment, but with the idea of this rule will also go to the next board and allow them not to have the same fight over again and hopefully make their lives a little easier.
Susan Moreno.
Susan
Moreno, please.
Please.
So you say that we have the right to deny. Who's we? The board?
We, the LSB.
And how do we have, how we state, and how are we going to do that? Are we in a vote?
We always vote. We always vote on every excuse.
We're going to be stuck again arguing.
We argue.
Well, hold on.
So we'll
never get
anywhere. So
speak
that's why we need rules.
Hey, don't respond. Speak to the chair when you speak. Because this back and forth business is getting a little.
So that's my question: is if we have that ability, then why haven't we been using it? Because we get stuck in the same old rut, and so that's why they have decided in the governance committee, apparently, that is why we need a more specific rule that helps us decide who to deny and do it across the board exactly the same for every individual.
But we
hold on.
What?
Now,
that's not in Robert's rules.
Hold on, please. It is in Robert's rules.
When
you're trying to conduct a meeting, you just can't bird out whatever you want to bird out. You have to be recognized, sir. Please.
Running over the top of everything and allowing him to respond to everything.
The man is giving the presentation,
sir. It's
improper. You probably don't know Robert's rules, but we have to have order, and that's why there's a chair. Nancy, do you have a point?
When you asked for public comment, he raised his hand, but you didn't see it.
Well, we'll come right out of public comment because the public is more important than any of this, as far as I'm concerned. So I apologize. You're a big guy. I don't see how I didn't see your hands. But you can have as many minutes as you deem necessary.
Because y'all are on a roll, I don't want to interrupt. I just want to say that, once again, factionality is going to cause us to be, you know, if you've got a faction that wants to go this way, then you, you're naturally not going to, you're naturally going to excuse the person that, so that your majority are there. Maybe you can keep it worked up. But I'm sure you guys are going to work this out, and I really appreciate it. And there's a vacant seat on the board. I would really like to fill that up. I know what I'm getting into. I've spent hours and hours and hours on phone calls and hatching stuff. Some things went, some things didn't. But
well, you're going to need to give some of the new members your names. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm Wesley Bethune. Been on the local station board 6 years and the national board a couple of years. And so I hope you consider me. Because I'm ready to get back in the committees, ready to stay on the phone. 3 or 4 nights a week, 4 or 5 hours. So let y'all get back to it. Thank you.
Very well. You couldn't save us longer than that.
Although I don't know when it's going to count, when the vote is.
Okay.
I get permission of the chair. I just want to respond to you, Hank. The reason I'm up here responding to people is because I was leading this and I happen to know the various arguments that we discussed during the meetings. And I'm just trying to let you know what the committee, I mean, if you decide you don't like the rule, you can vote against the rule. Before, I'm not really,
I already know
myself, but that's not the point. I'm letting you understand what we did discuss and that we did consider.
I already get that. Everybody's got that all along. This is what y'all discussed and came up with.
And specifically for Susie, what she said, we considered the fact that it would help to, having a row would help take some of the political controversy out of excusing absence.
It won't, though.
Now,
everything.
The chair is going to recognize one individual at a time. I have a stack. Unless there's a point of order, I'd like to go back to my stack.
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to be clear how many, if we have this motion and we have any other...
We have another motion after this one, imagine it.
No. What I'm saying is we have one, that is this one. I think that nobody make a because George wasn't second. It's not the motion.
What's your point of order?
Robert seconded it.
He seconded it. Oh,
okay.
Order, time.
Then are we talking about
time,
that one?
5 minutes
is up. Your time up been a long time ago. And I just don't understand why we don't understand why we don't get anything done.
Yeah, because that's the idea.
Everybody's got their own little ideas, but a committee of 7 or 8 people worked on this for 6 to 9 months. And if you want to tear it down and get nothing done, do it. But let's move the motion. Okay, I've got a stack with Mr. Ryder, Mark, Mr. Robert Mark, and Mr. Crawford.
So I want to respond to Jim's comment. I don't read that second paragraph meaning that if you send in a request for an excused absence, you're going to get it.
No.
The board has to vote on excused absences, does it?
It does qualify.
It just says you don't get it if you don't send it in before 3 hours in advance. So it's a necessary condition, but it isn't sufficient. And I think that's really where if my amendment goes through and you have 3 unexcused absences, what this then says, if you don't come to the next meeting, you're off the board. Because then you've got 4 in a row. Because you're not going to get an excused absence for the next meeting. So if you've got 3 unexcused absences, this says you will be off the board on the very next time if you don't show up, because you're not going to get an excused absence. So it in fact makes it really more sharp. And you can exercise your judgment in the course of deciding whether or not to grant an excused absence. And as far as setting a lawsuit about that, people get to vote on what they want to do. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And you can't make a lawsuit because you got it voted against you.
But they did.
Yeah. I just want to address, Jim had suggested that you change to just say 4 excused absences and you're not entitled. I just want to say I want to commend the committee for figuring out that if you do it that way, it looks like you're rewriting the bylaws.
Exactly.
But by defining an excused absence,